Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey everybody, this is Dario with AfterBuzz TV. Did you know that TrueCar.com is changing car buying forever? Yes, everyday TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Now, some features are not available in all states, but that's okay. In the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off of their MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what people pay for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. The third step is so simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Remember, everyday TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save your time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
Into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey guys, and welcome to The Walking Dead, Cannibal Edition. Joining me tonight, a couple amazing cannibal friends of mine.
Grossed out Joyce.
Cannibal friends. Okay, this is Nando, but cannibal friends?
Hunter friends, excuse me.
Oh, that's much better.
No, I refuse to be associated with those freaks.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm Gareth, a.k.a. Dave Klein. But you can call me Gareth tonight. Mm-hmm. To you. That's Gareth to you. All right, so we start off with Gareth's group. Chowing down, having dinner. So hopefully you're eating while you're watching this episode. And thinking about how tasty that must be. Because we're hunters and it tastes good.
I was eating during that scene.
You were.
I was like, this is appetizing. And you could hear all the squishy sounds when they're chewing and chowing down. It was nasty.
Yeah.
It's just like bison.
Well, it's funny because the first couple of shots, it looked like it was zombies tearing flesh. But then it was or it wasn't, but it just morphed to... It morphed to Gareth's group, to the hunters eating, eating.
Well, it was juxtaposing the shots of the walkers outside banging on the windows and then ripping it and eating their human flesh.
Yeah.
Like, they're just as, animalistic, I guess, as the walkers outside.
I mean, that's such a great scene.
Yeah.
Overall, it's such a great scene.
It's Lord of the Flies, the scene. So, after that, that's when we find out that it turns out Bob was, in fact, bitten. Way back when he was in the food bank. So he was bitten there.
Well, yeah, without rushing it, I mean, just because that scene was so awesome because it was all Gareth just teasing, like he was teasing the zombies outside and saying how he just likes to have them out there watching him and they're all eating food with the zombies clawing at the glass.
Yeah.
He was kind of playing with his food. He was playing with Bob, which I thought was really, really awesome. And he even said, like, at one point, like, he talks about compares himself
to being a
bear.
Human being. I'm talking to you.
I'm talking to you. Yeah, exactly. And, and talking about eating women, the extra layer of fat, and teasing with Sasha saying, I bet, pretty people taste good too. I bet you she tastes really good. And trying to break Bob and to see Bob start laughing. And then do the whole reveal, which people kind of assumed from last week. We kind of assumed it, whether you read the comics or not. It was just brilliant the way it played out.
Yeah, and as Joyce and I were talking about while we were watching, you just had a... that's a different thing. Gabriel had a great performance. Bob had a good performance, too.
No, he totally did.
But
yeah.
Yeah, this was, as we talked about during the comic stuff, this was literally verbatim exactly what happened in the comics. Yeah. So that's why I didn't want to talk about it.
Well, we're not spoiling it now because we're just saying right, what happened before, FYI. Yes. In case anyone's like, we're talking about the comics too early. It's like, we're talking about what happened.
So, right. So this is like exactly verbatim what happened. But yeah, so Bob had been tainted meats. He'd been bitten. So that does bring up the question. This is things that you guys were bringing up last week on YouTube in the comments, which is that if you are tainted like that, if you've been bitten, and then someone were to eat you and cook you, is that actually going to what is that going to do? As even the hunter group asked, what is that going to do? Because as we know, everybody actually is infected. That's the thing. Yeah. Everyone's infected. It's just that once you get bitten, it speeds up you dying. It's basically like being poisoned and you die quicker, and then you come back. But you're already infected no matter what.
Well, that's probably the one.
So what's this going
thing
to do?
Yeah, it's probably the one shameful thing about everything that happened in this episode. We never really ultimately find out if the tainted meat really does kill them or turn them into zombies, because obviously we see later on what happens to everybody. But it would make some interesting cases if they don't die from tainted meat, if you could cook zombie flesh.
Yeah.
Or something. I mean, not saying that's it. Well, look.
I mean, it's a possibility.
Garrett talks about being hungry all the time. Imagine if you were really desperate and you ended up cooking zombie meat.
Yeah.
And you ended up actually, you know, like, cooking it to a point where all the whatever it is, you know, that could kill you.
I don't know. There's not very much meat on those bones.
Yeah.
That's
kind of go
too
with maybe human meat.
I also wonder, because it seemed to take a while for Bob to turn. He'd been bit for a day, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is how it works, but he got bit up here.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it took some time for the rest of his body to get infected. So they maybe didn't eat super tainted meat because the infection didn't get down to his legs at that point.
Yeah, I don't know. That's also a good question.
If that's how it works.
Yeah, I mean,
I think I mean,
they cut off an arm, though, at one point, was for someone who was infected. Mm-hmm. And they found out right away.
In the prison,
right? Yeah, like Herschel. I think it was Herschel, right? They cut off someone's body part to save them.
To save him, yeah.
And it worked.
He got bit in the leg.
Herschel?
Yeah.
Bob was, like, in the shoulder, so the idea was, like, oh, he wouldn't have been able to save because you have to basically cut off, like,
well, it's
his
not
main
even a matter
artery
of saving.
Right.
Yeah, that would have been lethal. But, you know, it's in such a major area, too. I'm surprised he didn't turn much faster.
True.
You would assume. I know we're led to believe that everyone turns at a different speed, but I would also assume, depending on where you're bitten, depending on the injury, you turn faster. So that seemed like it was pretty close up to.
Yeah,
his head. And, yeah, I would have thought he would have turned a little bit sooner.
Yeah, I was imagining, like, closer to the head, the faster you turn, but I guess not. So
guess
who knows?
Not.
Who knows?
I also want to add really quick, Garrett's bear metaphor. Just to preface this, are we going to assume that there were no children in Terminus? Because I don't remember seeing children, but there was the idea that children were there because there were toys.
There were
and
toys
stuff
in that room that Carol would rather watch from.
Right.
I assume there were before Garrett's group got before they were cannibals.
Yeah, so his bear metaphor about how, you know, if a mother is starving, she's going to eat her cub.
Yeah.
Because if the mother dies, her cub's going to die anyway. So if the mother eats the cub, she'll have another cub.
Well, Scott
so
Gimple,
I wonder if that was the mentality in Terminus, like they ate all their kids.
Scott Gimple talked about, not the kid thing, but talked a little bit about the, you know, their methodology, which Gareth goes into detail about with that bear analogy, just that most likely everyone that goes to Terminus is not automatically food. Like if you're strong enough and you're willing to accept this group for what they do, you can join them. But
you
if you're
join
one of the weak,
you feed us.
But if you're weak, then they off you. So I would assume that Garrett probably presumes kids to be weak,
probably
based on that analogy, based on the bear analogy.
Yeah,
sounds like it. And especially also what we saw with his partner who was in the house, whose name I'm
Martin,
who has also had a very similar terminology about kids or thought about kids. His thought process, which was that kid's just going to slow you down.
Yeah.
With one of the, he was looking at Judith.
Yeah,
so
kid's weak. Yeah.
Yeah, so he had the exact same thought process.
I'm just surprised he didn't, like, talk about kids like they were veal. He talked about the women, but he didn't really talk about kids. I would have assumed he would have gone there.
Well, I guess he got more women than kids in this.
Yeah.
Women and men. I'm just surprised he didn't point out Maggie. I'm like, that Maggie? I don't know. You gotta give Maggie some love. You're talking about beautiful women.
You were thinking about Maggie, Dave.
I was like,
all right, don't get
Cannibal Dave.
You're hitting creepy
ground. Creepier moment by moment.
If we want to get on the show, you're hitting creepy ground.
Hashtag Maggie for Dave.
Yes. All right, so Sasha finds... Well, now that has an entirely different meaning.
Yeah.
So Sasha finds a marking outside of the church, and now we're at Sasha, and Rick and Tyrese are with her, and they actually see these markings, which it sounds like... And actually, Joyce, you realize this, that the group was actually talking about the hunter group, that they were making markings.
Yeah.
So we know for certain then that the hunter group had been making markings, because they say that in the beginning, that they've been leaving it so they could track where they've been and things like that. But, yeah, so Sasha finds one of these markings, and at this point in this scene, we find out that the group now knows at this point Daryl and Carol are missing. So they're aware, and as they head back, Bob had been kicked in the face previously, and he's dragged outside of the church, where we see the entire group hears a noise and a whistling noise, and they go outside and find Bob in the grass. So before that, though, before that scene momentarily, we do have Sasha blaming Gabriel. So that is when we get Gabriel's really great reveal about what he did.
Yeah, that was a really great performance by Seth Gilliam. He made me tear up a little bit. I was getting there. But,
really?
Yeah.
Well, again, Seth,
just, I understand you're a coward.
Well, we get to learn. I mean, I think, again, based on last week, we kind of assumed it was something like that. But we really get to see him really, just he really was scarred by this whole thing. And he said he's damned. He said, you guys have come here to punish me.
Yeah.
So he really, truly believes that he's sinned and that he gets to, he gets his comeuppance for what he did. Even though the way he describes it, at least, it doesn't sound as severe as we were led to believe last week.
Yeah.
He intentionally did it.
Because,
he said, I always close the doors at night. He kept repeating, it's kind of like I always turn the oven off and I forgot, or something.
I mean, I think he was in the church because he sleeps in the church a lot. I think he probably had locked the doors. He heard them all. So I think he was in the church. He locked the doors and he made the decision.
Still was. Yeah,
right.
He made
the decision not to let them in.
Yeah.
The doors were locked and he panicked and was like, I want to be safe. This is too scary.
He's got to survive.
Too spooky for me.
He had to make a decision.
Yeah, he has no, obviously he chose not to open the doors.
Yeah.
But his justification was, I always lock the doors at night.
Right. I mean, it's just, what you tell yourself to sleep at night.
Yeah. Pretty much. That's why he repeated it so much.
So as they go outside and find Bob and a bunch of walkers, and I don't know why Rick starts shooting his gun.
Because there was a gunshot that actually got the walker instead of Rick. And you could see it. You could hear it from off screen.
Oh.
So Rick saw that zombie go down, and I guess he assumed that it wasn't one of his people.
I thought he did the shot.
So, yeah, no, he didn't shoot the zombie. No, he took his gun out and started shooting at the woods.
Who shot first?
Who shot first? Guido.
Okay. Really? Han Solo.
Han shot first. But, yeah, that's what I saw. So that's what clued Rick into that it was a trap.
Yeah.
Having Bob out there and then the zombies, the walkers, pardon me, the walkers out there, that caused that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And there's also now there's a giant A marked in what looks like blood,
in
possibly.
Red. Yeah.
On the side of the church.
I wonder what that could mean.
Anarchy.
Anarchy.
There's no circle around it, Dave.
If they kept killing people one by one, they just add another letter to the alphabet, A, B. They can't count. I was thinking like the scarlet letter,
That's what I was thinking.
Because actually, that does kind of make an interesting point because that is a church that he's writing it on.
And also, you're automatically, that's just a symbol for being condemned anyway.
Yeah.
So it could just be an overall, way of showing that this guy is an asshole.
I think it adds to the whole fear. Obviously, they're trying to scare the hell out of this group.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of the whole the church aspect, I'm actually kind of, I wonder where and what church they were able to find that allowed this, because a lot of churches are really strict on what's allowed to be filmed in the church, and especially with the scenes that are in this show, especially with them, Maggie saying, hey, it's just four walls and a roof in the church and things like that. That's a lot of churches wouldn't allow that to be filmed there.
They might have made their own church.
They might have.
Kind of a small town looking church. It might not have been too hard to make. It could have just been a set too.
Or
they could have paid him a lot of money. They said, you know what? That's okay. You guys can do this.
They won't ask for donations for a very long time.
Yeah.
Who knows?
They go around, they do communion. It's like, it's fine.
You guys are good. We're good for another 5 years.
It's okay. Yeah.
So Bob tells the group about Gareth and about what happened. And fortunately for them, they do have Gabriel there who happens to know where everything is. So he tells them where the elementary school is at, and then they try to discuss about what they're happening, and Abraham freaks out and thinks this is the time to extract Eugene and get the hell out, and this is when we finally now have Rick and Abraham really truly butting heads. So that scene that we thought had been avoided hadn't been avoided.
That whole scene made me really believe that Eugene was blowing smoke. Like we discussed in the first episode of this season. I feel like he doesn't know what to do when they do get to DC. And, what you said before, I think Abraham is kind of clueless. Like, he's just sort of going along with this idea that Eugene knows something. And the fact that Eugene was super reluctant to leave just made me feel like, he doesn't believe he deserves to go to D.C. because these people are, you know.
He talked back to Abraham, and Abraham's like, nope, let's move it. Yeah. Abraham cares more about the cure than Eugene does at this point.
Exactly.
Eugene is in no hurry to get to D.C.
Yeah, Eugene's like, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
Like, and Abraham's like, come, we're going. And he's like, okay.
It's like the sooner they get to D.C., the sooner he's going to have to admit that he has no idea what he's doing.
Well, it's funny because in scenes like last week, he talks with such confidence about
I know the cure,
and then but he doesn't ever really fight. Like he should be the one fighting to say we need to go now, we need to go to D.C. and get out of here.
Well, I mean, when it comes down to it, it's like he needs to back himself up for the time being, so he doesn't. He's probably afraid like they'll kick him out or stop protecting him or something like that.
Exactly, that's the only reason why he's being protected. Yeah. By Abraham and everybody else.
But even Rosita doesn't really want to go. I mean, she's going with Abe. She's not fighting Abe like Eugene kind of did. But, you know, she even would rather stay and just handle the problem and have the larger group. She sees the safety in numbers.
Yeah, it's definitely the safety in numbers thing. Because Abraham's just, I'm not really thinking too much at this particular. I mean, he's just thinking, like, safety first for Eugene and that's it. And that's all that's on his mind. So we get them butting heads. And also, we have Glenn coming in to split them up and going to intervene. And I was just hoping that Glenn would walk up and be like, hold on, and then just turn and deck Abraham in the face with a punch.
Like, I got this right.
Yeah.
Well, you figure Glenn's already fought with Abraham. So I wonder if he was just trying to save Rick the trouble because he knows how much of a badass Abraham
like,
is.
I know what this punch feels like.
Yeah.
So.
But again, Glenn trying to be kind of like the moral compass, trying to make everyone work together. Really interesting about Glenn.
And he ends up agreeing to leave, and Maggie agrees as well, that the two of them will leave and go with Abraham's group if they will stay and at least help out the situation and try to wait for Daryl and Carol for at least a little bit. So he tries to get it to work, and then he has to concede that he'll go with them. So Abraham's still seeing the power numbers, but trying to be like, let me play my cards and get some of these guys. They're good shots, and they're pretty badass.
Yeah. Can I just say, I felt this scene was just a little too drawn out. I don't know why, I just felt it was. I mean, Glenn had to get in between them twice.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
A little bit, So I don't know what the purpose of that was specifically, other than fighting about the truck, but it was really interesting.
It was just to feel you thought it was solved, but it's not.
It's not solved. So
we tricked you. So Bob is playing the good and bad game with Sasha, and she does not want to. And he has some great lines with her during that, which is that basically during like all their interactions, which is that he knows. Sasha wants to know why he didn't tell her, and he tells her because she'd become all about the end, and he thinks that she's too concerned about things that are going to be as opposed to enjoying what you have right now.
Mm-hmm. I love the way he worded that. Yeah, you'd be concerned about the end, but I kind of like the middle right now. Yeah. So, yeah.
To the very end, he had his, he had his silver linings lined up, ready to shoot out. So
it was a full notebook, you might say.
Yeah. I commend him for that. It made me sadder that he was going.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I feel like even if people didn't want to hear what he had to say about, oh, well, at least this is good, at least this is good, like, it still brought a little bit of more hope to them.
Mm. Now that he's not as much of an alcoholic anymore, he was actually kind of a positive to the group.
A little pleasant.
Yeah.
It's a shame he couldn't even have one last drink. Just to remember that.
He's like, I don't... Before he goes. One last thing I want isn't Sasha. It's just another drink. Get out of here, Sasha.
One last drink before I go.
Just let me get drunk.
Just give me a vodka kiss.
It'll make me forget about the pain. It'll forget about the pain.
One last time. Gabriel, give me that communion wine.
Either you kick me in the
don't
face...
Don't call it communion wine. It's just wine.
It's just wine.
Then fine.
Either you kick me in the face so I can forget about the pain in my leg, or give me a drink.
So we finally have Rick's group, and they're heading out, and they have a plan, which Rosita's questioning. We don't really quite know what the plan is. We just know that it's assumed, and what it sounds like is that they're going to head to the elementary school and just completely take them out there. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like that is their plan. So we see them heading out, and on their way out, Sasha wants to go, and Tyrese is trying to refuse to let her so she can actually spend some last time, some words of wisdom with her. Sasha, spend the last moments you have with Bob, but
brotherly
she ain't
advice.
Having any of it.
Yeah.
So she's just all about that revenge and also just being with the group.
But it was really cool to see Tyrese trying to bond with her and try and tell her about, you know, when he lost his girlfriend, thanks to Carol, you know, how he felt right afterwards. Yeah. So it was a really interesting bonding moment, how the two of them were sharing what they had in common.
Like something she can relate to. I mean, you can't have your cake and eat it too. someone you care about's gonna die.
Yeah,
I know,
horrible,
I know how you feel.
Over a horrible cake that you've been given.
But, cake is a lie.
But so, oh. What? Yeah, portal.
Portal mode. So elementary school. No, it's all good.
Like
it worked.
We all
it worked
agreed.
In this situation. So elementary school is where they all head out to, and then we get this really long shot as they're heading out. Then we see the other group, the hunter group, heading to the church. So. Really long pause in there, implying that Rick's group is completely out.
Yeah, such a beautiful scene because it was one shot.
Yeah.
And we see Rick's group just disappear, and then you wait like 3 to 5 seconds. It took forever for the other
group
to come.
For a second, I was like, okay, something's going to pop up. Like, I was kind of on the edge of my seat in suspense. And then I just see the shadow of Gareth's group. I was like, this is kind of creepy.
It was creepy. Awesome. This whole thing was awesome.
Yeah.
From this point to the end, it's so awesome. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so that wraps up the show. And we'll find out what happens next time. So they, like, you're like, this is the best part of this show. And I'm like, let's just pretend it happened.
Yeah.
All right, so they end up going and getting to the church, this hunter group, and we get something on the wall that was brief flash, but definitely the camera stayed there, which is stupidity is also a gift of God, but one must not misuse it, was the quote. That was in the church that they pandered on.
Yeah.
That didn't apply to Gareth at all.
Well, he thought he was being smart. It was a plan that, especially as an audience, they tried to build you to believe that he had the correct plan.
Yeah.
And he'd gotten them over. Especially once Judas starts crying.
She ruins everything.
That was, again.
They would have barged in there anyway, I think, regardless.
Yeah.
But
I think they figured they had some guns, so it's just to reduce casualties.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny because, if Judith didn't cry, they probably would have banged on that door sooner.
Mm-hmm.
But she actually, in a way, saved them in the other room because then they were like, let's find Judith. You know, he made a little crack about, maybe we won't let Judith go. Now.
Again, like the kid thing, I mean, he probably would have just eaten her.
Yeah, they would have eaten her.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they implied too at one point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Am I the only one who thought it was going to be harder for them to get in the church? Because I feel like if all the town people couldn't get in the church, it'd be harder than just taking a crowbar to the door.
Yeah, but this was ultimately Rick's plan. I think that's what it was led to believe.
Okay.
That Rick left the place more or less unguarded.
That's true.
And they saw that, and then Rick's people doubled back.
Yeah, like it definitely, like when you think about it, it's like that was part of the plan. Because, they just easily bust in. And if this could have held an entire mob of people, it definitely makes it like, this was the plan. It wasn't like he just like changed his mind or they got to the elementary school and they're like, let's turn around.
Yeah. Like Rick said, they probably don't think that we're going to have our heads on straight, but Rick was like 5 steps ahead of them this whole time.
I think when he said that, we thought he meant like they think we're scared and we're going to stay in here.
Yeah.
But what he really meant was like they think that we're going to go out there recklessly and leave the church, unoccupied.
Yeah.
So, and then... that was the ballsy move, I think. They really meant doubling, leaving the place unattended and coming back for them.
Rick's quite the Bobby Fischer.
Yeah.
In the Walking Dead game of chess.
Oh, boy. Bobby Fischer.
Gareth, as he's at the door about to open it up, all of a sudden the silencer comes in handy, I suppose. I mean, I don't know if it would have mattered, but it stops bringing Walker's attention. Rick shot, and it was the silencer that he used.
It was the silencer that Glenn stole.
So,
last week.
So he assumed it was the one from last episode. So I just thought that was a cool note that he actually used it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, so after that, Rick comes in, and they end up cornering the group. And as we get Garrett trying to reason with them, and kind of a pretty good scene I liked Rick's reasoning where when Gareth was like, hey, look, we'll never have to cross paths again. You never have to worry about us. And Rick goes, well, you'll cross someone's path. And that's a pretty good, I think that's, as much as he would be mad at him about his own group, I think that's a good moral point.
Well, first of all, Gareth in that opening scene with Bob kind of wanted Bob to beg for his life, was teasing him in a way. He mentioned begging to Bob. So here he is, the shoe's on the other foot.
And he also mentioned begging to Rick also. He's like, there's no point in begging.
Yeah, there's no point in begging, but then he pretty much started begging. He said, we'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
But like you said, I mean, Rick was like, you may not cross our path, but you're going to cross somebody else's path.
Yeah.
You know?
I like in that scene how, I mean, granted, Gareth was kneeling, but first of all, Rick told everybody to kneel, and they're in a church, so that was kind of fitting and symbolic. And
I loved Martin not being defiant for a second there,
And so when Gareth was kneeling and Rick was kind of standing over him, he just looked giant and kind of godlike, and like, I'm going to decide your fate right now.
Mm. Oh, interesting. I didn't notice that. That's a good point.
Yeah, a little angle shot. That was a good scene.
It was a good scene. Yeah. Especially with that stained glass behind him.
Mm. Yeah.
It looked really cool.
Yeah, that's that power shot, mm-hmm. definitely. And also we have Martin, too, had a little moment where he was refusing to surrender.
Yeah.
So he got his times and be like, remember this character that then turns out to survive?
Martin's good friend, yeah. Tyrese, when Gareth's calling out who's in the church, which I thought was kind of funny.
I like how
too.
He finally saw what Tyrese really did to him. When he turned to the side of his face and you saw his eye all swollen, his face all messed up.
Mm. Yeah. But he's alive, so.
He's alive.
He did, now he's not, though. All got brutally stabbed. I also loved Rick's line, too. Rick's line when they're like, so why didn't you just shoot us? And he just said in such like a matter-of-fact way, didn't want to waste the bullets.
Yeah.
Which is like a good insult. Yeah. It's like, you weren't worth it. You weren't worth it.
Yeah, it's just such like, but just his matter-of-fact tone was so great. Yeah. I love that delivery on his. But yeah, they just brutally cut them apart and tear them up.
Right before he does that, he says, I have a promise. I had a promise I wanted to keep to you, right? Or I had something
like,
promise.
He's like, I gave a promise to you or something.
And that was the handle on the machete that he said he was going to use to kill him back in the first episode. Remember when he was talking about the weapons?
Yeah.
When he was telling him what weapons he had, and he said he had a machete with a red handle.
Yeah,
that I'm gonna kill you.
Oh,
with.
That's right. I totally didn't. I missed that. Like,
good
connection.
I was wondering
why they really came in close on the red handle.
Because that's because that's the weapon he said he was gonna kill him with.
Okay.
So yeah, so that was pretty awesome. That was an awesome little callback right there.
Yeah, that's a great callback. So good on catching that.
Also, when Gareth's team was getting brutally murdered, I like how everyone kind of watched in horror. Like it's. Someone said in the comments, I think last week, that they're kind of annoyed the zombies are like flies now. Like, they're so easy to kill, especially if there's just one or two of them coming at you. But I think now, I mean, obviously, as we've seen, people are the real enemies at this point. But it's still, for the crew, hard to see people killing other live people. So their reactions were super... It was strange. I was like, why are they acting like this is new to them? I was like, okay, well...
Well, it was also like, it was more... a brutal scene as opposed to just shooting someone, which is much easier, and it's easier to distance yourself. This is like someone getting in close. And especially like Sasha was just stabbing the guy like a psychopath murderer that you'd see in a horror movie.
Yeah. Well, this is reminiscent of when Rick bit that guy's throat out toward the end of last season. This was just as animalistic as what these, and you know, you'd almost want to say the bear analogy, you know, how brutal bears can be. Like, you almost want to say it was such a wild and feral scene. And one thing I wrote, because I thought it was really, really interesting, is we saw the people that were like bloodlust in their eyes were Rick, Michonne, Abraham, and Sasha. They're the ones that were killing the four people that were left. But meanwhile, we saw Tara, Maggie, Glenn looking in horror, and then Tyrese opening the door and seeing Sasha like that, too. So, you know, I think just from that scene alone, we definitely see they may be one group, but there is a division when it comes to things like this between
That's
the
true.
Two groups.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's also a thing of, like, maybe they're disgusted with it, but they think it's the right thing to do. Like, it's one of those things, like, I agree with you, but I can't do it myself.
Right.
But I do agree with your decision.
Well, I think there was a reason why they showed those two, because those two reactions
were
so
Glenn
extreme.
And Maggie were just like...
Yeah.
And you have Tyrese and Sasha who are both on different ends of the spectrum here. At this point in this episode, like, Tyrese was always... not into killing anything, whether it's a walker or a person. And seeing Sasha, you're right, seeing Sasha do that, his sister is like, I can't believe you've gone this far.
Yeah, and we've seen that Tara seems to bond a lot with Glenn and Maggie, so to see them like on the same side of this equation is really interesting too, and I think that might come to play. You see another occasion where they're kind of bonding, even if they're just bonding over how shocked and scared they are seeing this group being brutally killed by their own members.
Still unusual.
Yeah. So we get, then after Gabriel sees all this, he's like, I can't believe this is the Lord's house. And Maggie says, no, it's just four walls and a roof. And Maggie also earlier in the episode had been looking at the Bible, and there's a very specific shot on that. So,
Well, don't forget, two things
turning around a little bit.
Yeah, two things right around that point. Michonne gets her katana back, and that was like an awesome moment seeing her pull the katana
out. You know she missed that thing.
Well, like especially the way she's holding it later. Yeah. She's like, this was my baby.
And this is right after she
my real baby.
And this is right after she pretty much bashed that woman's head in. So this is like even more like she even seems more ominous and dangerous after getting the machete. This is like new and improved. She's just leveled up in a video game. It's like new improved Michonne.
Well, I mean, it's also like, I guess if the bash was heading like that, it could also be like it used to be so clean and simple with my katana.
Yeah.
And now I can just swipe someone's head off, one swoop, and I have to get, like, all dirty.
Yeah.
And then the fact that the church, you know, right before Gabriel says that the church has been tainted or stained, first of all, it's like tainted meat, in a way. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like pure meat that's been tainted, kind of like that with the church. You know, that was the first time since the zombie outbreak that church has had any blood spilled inside it, because Father Gabriel has had it locked up the whole time. So I thought that was also really interesting.
Probably also the first time ever, I'd imagine, that it's had blood. Not just since the zombie outbreak.
Yeah. Probably first time ever. Yeah, like, you know, maybe somebody, you know, cut themselves or something accidentally. I don't know. Yeah. But first time something like that, like, you know, that was the cleanest place we've ever seen since the outbreak.
Other than the, you know, Hyundai cars, those are pretty clean.
I felt so bad for Gabriel, because this whole, I mean, he's a huge wuss, and I know if Daryl was here, he would totally agree, but... I just felt bad because he's been so tortured this whole time, but he still had this belief in God. Even though God was here to punish him or sending these guys to punish him, he still had that belief in God. And now at the end, when people's heads are getting squashed in the church, it's like this group of people that are punishing him squashed his belief. Maybe next episode he's not going to be so God-fearing.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see the development of his character now after all this has gone down.
I don't think he would kill still.
No, I don't think he would kill, but I think he'll definitely start questioning his faith.
He's cowardly, but it's just the question to see like how he's going to react to everything around him.
Yeah.
Now that he's seeing the brutal reality of things a little bit clearer, as opposed to just hearing the sounds. But everyone then is saying goodbye to Bob, so they actually get to all have this nice like goodbye line, which is actually probably one of the best ways that we've seen on the show so far, saying goodbye to someone. And they all go in turn, and then Bob calls over Rick and kind of gives him another piece of humanity, saying that before the prison, I didn't know there were any good people left, but you took people in, and kind of pointing that out to him and telling him, again, another kind of sign to keep your humanity. Nightmares end, but they shouldn't end who you are. So, like, a nightmare shouldn't end who you are, but because the nightmare is going to eventually end.
Mm-hmm.
So,
a little
bit of sound advice from him.
I like that, and I think it also explains, in a way, what Rick did, because that's the middle of the nightmare, but ultimately it shouldn't change who he is.
Yeah.
And I think it was also Bob trying to tell Rick, no matter what he's done, he's ultimately a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I really like that, because I think that grounds him. And it also, this and another, and something I'm sure you'll mention later on, I'll bring it up again, really starts to cement Rick, like, it's this reinforcement that he is the leader. No matter what decisions he have to make, no matter how tough they are, everyone looks up to him as the leader.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like also like when we had Glenn and Maggie trying to, or it was mainly Glenn, but like when they were trying to decide who they were going to be with, it's like, I choose Rick. And they're all choosing Rick specifically, as opposed to I want to stay. They're like, whatever Rick does, I would choose Rick. So everyone's absolutely cemented him as
the
leader.
But this is like Bob saying, you're a good man, ultimately.
Yeah.
This is a nightmare, nightmares, and you're ultimately a good man, and this is who you are.
Did you understand in that scene what Bob meant when Rick was about to walk out with Judith, and Bob was like, no, it's okay, I trust her. Did you get that?
You know, it was weird.
Because I was asking Bob. I was asking Dave, too.
Name.
I was like, what does he mean, he trusts Judith? Or is he even... I don't know. It was confusing.
Yeah,
remember?
I don't get that exactly. I thought at first maybe he was talking to Sasha.
Me
but
too.
Yeah, it was a little confusing about I trust her. I just felt like maybe he trusts, like he can be around her without, or, you know, turning. I don't know.
Maybe he was joking, making a joke. Like, she's a baby, of course I can trust her.
He does like to joke around a bit.
Yeah, I think it was just a joke.
Just a question.
And also just like, because Rick was like going to have like a one-on-one moment with him type of thing. And he's like, I don't, it's fine.
I trust him for the conversation. Yeah,
right, it's just a baby, like it doesn't matter. But so Bob is then alone with Sasha, about to pass away. And then Nando clapping because he's so excited. Bob's finally about to pass away.
No,
that's funny because I just like, as I'm saying, I know you were just like,
I was just like, my hands.
Yeah, but it was just funny timing.
I'm
so,
not clapping.
Sasha, as Bob's just smiling, happy to see her face, and that really is the last thing he wanted. She's trying to finally say, like, so what is it, the good that comes out of this bad? And he dies, which is, in that moment, says, pretty symbolic too, especially for her.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
she's like, great, nothing.
Yeah, like at this point, like Bob dying, there's really no.
She gets
good.
To move forward in a way that's good, and maybe he passes, and you know they end up. You know, obviously
he didn't say that.
He didn't say that, but I'm just saying maybe that's technically what it is. Like, say it's symbolic. She gets to move forward from this.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, maybe, that could be it. I was thinking maybe like that was the one scenario where there's not necessarily a good. to it, like maybe. When you lose someone like that.
That's a possibility.
Maybe she'll find out later. Maybe she's pregnant.
What?
I'm going to go really far with that.
Oh. It's possible.
It is possible. Yeah. I don't know. They just kiss a lot. They're still like puppy dog love. They haven't even, they're like, we haven't even tried that yet. Just kissing mode.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Maybe I'm just, you know.
That would be interesting, though.
Have a dirty mind.
More, it's going to be baby dead. The walking babies.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Spin off.
So, a good scene here where Sasha is just having trouble killing him, can't pull it out, and then Tyrese comes in to do it for her, and just being that good brother, and letting her leave, and being that bit of humanity of, like, you don't need to see this. This is one thing you don't need to do.
It was interesting seeing that, right after he did the deed, seeing that shot of the Last Supper on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was trying to think the correlation with that, but I'm not sure exactly, other than the fact that I guess, I think, didn't Judas have a knife in the Last Supper? So
I think he just has his back turned.
In the
turned.
Picture of it?
Yeah, I think he's just there, and it's just like, oh, that's the shady one.
Maybe it's like they said, like, that was their one last... The whole last night together, and they split up. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that is a great point. The Last Supper, and then right after the scene, we get them splitting up.
Yeah.
So it really was their last moment together. So
absolutely.
Good point.
I like that.
So, right after this, we do get Abraham leaving on the bus and the group splitting up.
We just come up with this on the fly sometimes, you know?
Just like that.
It's like, oh, yeah.
So in the Abraham bus, we have Abraham, Rosita, Eugene, and Tara, as well as Glenn and Maggie joining with. And then back in the church, we have Rick, Judith, Carl, so Rick's family, Michonne, Gabriel, Tyrese, and Sasha.
Gabriel is going with them,
he's still at the church. That's the point. Is like this is still church group. So church group compared to car group and bus group. And Abraham leaving another nice kind of human message for Rick, again leveling him and making him more human, which is on the map. It says, "Sorry, I was an asshole. Come to Washington, D.C. The new world's going to need Rick Grimes."
Exactly. That's the other moment right there. I think it's another...
where it's like he recognizes him as a really good leader.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, especially like if you want to start this new world of positiveness, this is the person you want to have. So it's definitely a very positive message.
Yeah.
So after that scene, we get Rick and or Tyrese over the graves. And Rick trying to ask about... what it was like for Tyrese to get to Terminus, and he says, "It killed me." And a really long pause as Rick responds that it didn't. And you assume that was just the separation from Sasha and being alone, and that's why Tyrese said that?
No, I'm thinking he's talking about Lizzie, about seeing what happened with Lizzie.
Okay,
particular. It was interesting because I guess he was digging a grave, but they already had Bob in the dirt because we saw that shot of Sasha with the cross.
So maybe they were burying the hunters.
That's a good point.
Which I think is interesting too, because again, it goes into Tyrese not wanting to kill anyone. Mm-hmm. It's still, he's a bit of a wuss, but he's still a good soul in that sense. So I thought that was interesting too.
Like everyone deserves a proper burial, no matter what your motives are.
I don't know if Tyrese is a wuss. He's just very morally pointed in a certain direction. But when it comes down to it, he will beat the hell out of you.
It takes a lot, though. It takes a lot for him
forget the scene in season 4 where he comes out of a van, I think, and he kind of straggled behind Sasha and a couple other people, and all these zombies just hoarded him.
Yeah.
And you thought he was going down, but then all of a sudden you see him, like, stabbing them, and he makes it out screaming. Like, he's a badass when he needs to be.
That was his meltdown. That was when he was in the middle of his meltdown.
He needs to have a meltdown to survive.
Like, he needs to hulk up.
Yeah.
He totally needs to hulk up. It's like, don't make me angry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Michonne then with the blade and Gabriel coming out to chat, and then now they're kind of trying to relating to each other in a way, as Gabriel can't sleep because of all the noises. Mm-hmm. And Michonne's someone who always kind of comforts people with this because she's gone through it such a long time ago, and kind of explaining that, you know, it's always going to be there to stay, but it gets better.
Mm-hmm.
It goes away with time. When after that, there's a noise in the bushes, and it turns out to be Daryl.
Oh, God.
Alone until Michonne asks, "Where's Carol?" And then Daryl turns around and says, "Come on out." And maybe he is just talking to Carol. Or maybe not.
I don't even know who
we have
that
no
could
idea
be.
Who he's with.
Yeah.
So it's just Daryl looking like something went down and with people.
Yeah.
Who people? Oh, I don't know.
There could be a couple of different people seem to come to mind. So
is where it wraps up. So
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't. I mean, if it's not Carol, I don't know who to guess it to be.
I mean, I guess Beth. or the group that took them, and maybe somehow they joined forces.
Well, I think it's the dude from the end of the first episode. Yeah, Morgan.
Yeah, Marvin Morgan. Yeah, so
that's what I think. Well, I think based on, and I guess we, you know, this is the part where I say, you know, we saw scenes from next week's episode. So if you saw next week's episode, or the scene, or if you don't want to see those scenes, don't listen for the next half a minute. But we see a lot of clips of Beth, so we see more or less what happened to Beth. So either it could be a flashback scene, yeah, and maybe Daryl and Carol saved her, so that's the surprise. Or I think it's more like the Morgan. I think they're making you believe that by watching those scenes, that it might be a flashback scene with Beth and that we see the group united.
Well, I guess we'll talk about that more in predictions, but should we do predictions?
Do we want to talk about comics?
Should we do predictions and then comics so that way the comic people can tune out? All the comic stuff that we talk about, it would be stuff that already happened.
To be honest, the comic it's
all stuff that happened now.
Let's
go ahead and do comics now and then we'll do predictions. But we can do play prediction music.
We'll play prediction music. We don't have a comic sound.
So we're going to talk about the comics now. If you guys want to tune out for comics mode.
Although, honestly, I don't think there's any spoilers.
Yeah, this isn't going to be spoiler stuff at this point. Yeah. But, like, a lot of, and this is why I didn't want to talk about certain things last week having read it, is because a lot of the stuff that happened in this episode directly paralleled pretty much exactly, for the most part, what happened in the comics. So,
with the exception of the fact that Bob, it was a different person than Bob.
Right, with the exception of the different person, than Bob, it was the same thing where it turned out that the person who it was bitten, had tainted meat, and they got pissed off. And another difference was that in the comics, Rick's group was much more brutal in the way they did it. They drove over to where the hunters were and rolled over, actually went to their place and just brutally murdered them and cut them to pieces.
I don't know why, but I haven't read the Hunter books in a while. Yeah. So for some reason, the way this played out for the church, it felt very similar to me than the comics. But I'm gonna have to read it.
It was something where it was almost like a point for them where after that they felt dirty, they dehumanized themselves as a group, and it was implied to be much more brutal than just like stabbing them.
So that whole plan that Rick had was not in the comics.
I don't
at all.
Believe so. I mean, it's been a little while for me as well, but I'm fairly certain that that plan wasn't there. It's just they went to the group, took them out right away, and they found them. Because they also, they just found them and took them out.
When you compare this storyline to the prison, when you compare this storyline to Alexandria coming up, this is such a small snippet in the comics. I mean, it's still awesome. I really love the way that, you know, Kirkman and Gimple and everybody really had a slow burn with the whole hunters. Like, we were wondering if these guys were the hunters from the wild, or we were wondering the other ones, what did we call them, the claimers?
The claimers. We were wondering about the two.
The claimers were really the hunters and everything. Yeah, so it was like a really nice slow build and finally hit. So I really loved how this whole thing culminated. And I also felt, if I may say, it felt like when I saw I'm going to have to look at it again, but the Comic-Con video that they showed this past summer made it look like Gareth had a bigger role. Like, he might even be joining the group. I have to look at it again. So kudos to, if that's true, and I'm going to look at it again, kudos to them for making Gareth seem like he had a bigger role.
Yeah.
I really thought he did.
I mean, another thing they definitely did, though, was in the comics, the hunters didn't have much of a backstory. Yeah. They were just essentially just hunters. So everything that you see in this scene with Gareth's group was an entire hunter backstory in the comics, so all of Terminus is brand new to the show.
Yeah,
like that wasn't anything.
Interesting.
So they had no particular gripe with Rick's group before. It was just literally a random group of cannibals that showed up and started kidnapping people, and it turned out they'd messed with the wrong group.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. It's cool that they gave them more of a backstory and how they became the way they were, and it wasn't just a sudden flash to it. So. Anyways, that's basically the comic comparisons. I mean, Gabriel and all that was also all that too in this, where Gabriel turned out to lock everyone out of the church. That was also exactly in the comics. Yeah. All that happened exactly where he locked everyone out of the church, and that's why they died. So he was feeling guilty about it, which is also why I didn't want to talk about it last week. So all that stuff was exactly verbatim. And this is actually because the show veers off a lot from the comics for the most part now, especially more than ever. So this was one of the most panel per panel.
Yeah, this felt very much panel per panel, like you said, from the comics.
So that's kind of why I wanted to talk about it, was just because more so than a lot of what we've seen, it's been
so if you really like this episode but you don't read the comics, here's a good reason to get into the comics.
Yeah, there you go. Because this is exactly an example of what the comics are.
Exactly.
So, anyways, let's go to predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, so then I guess the question is Beth going to be returning with them, or do you think they're just throwing us off with the fact that we see Beth's story in the previews? Because it looks like it's going to be all about what happened to Beth, and the quest of Daryl and Carol to save her, even though we don't see any Daryl Carol in specifically in the coming attractions for next week.
We just hear his voice, but I guess that's from a previous episode.
And we see what looks like flashbacks for Beth to what I'm assuming would be before, because she's like in a hospital bed.
Yeah, it seems like a flashback. It's really confusing. You know, the way Terminus got wrapped up so fast, I could see this wrapping up fast as well. I don't know if you want to keep
it does.
By yourself for more than one episode.
Yeah. I hope that's a one-episode arc.
That can't get too interesting. I hope it's not going to be like the pilot episode where Rick is coming out of the hospital and it's just kind of like, all right, well, we've seen this done before.
Yeah.
How's Beth going to make this different? I don't know.
You know, it's going to be, if only Abram had waited one more day, by the way. Daryl got there that night.
I know. If only waited just a little bit longer, they would have gone.
If he waited 24 hours instead of 12.
We don't know who he's with still. It'd be interesting because Daryl never met Morgan. So it was just the way Daryl was like introducing him to, because Michonne has met Morgan from that episode, Clear.
Yeah.
So the way he was like introducing whoever was coming out, I guess it was like going to be a familiar face.
It's like, surprise.
Yeah. So, I mean, it makes the most sense that it would still be Beth, but I feel like they're trying to swerve us a little bit.
I mean,
I think it's possible.
It could be Beth. I'm thinking that maybe, does everyone know that Beth is just gone? Does everyone think she's, everyone else think she's
no,
dead?
Only Daryl knows this, now Carol.
Daryl told everybody in the train car when they had that really quick montage in the beginning of season premiere.
Well, didn't he just say she's gone?
He was talking about the car. No, he actually mentioned the car with the white cross on it if you listen to the voiceover at the very beginning of the season. When they're in the train car, he's talking about her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, my thoughts are that I thought they tried to make it seem like there's something ominous going on when Daryl said, "All right, come on out." Like it seemed like there's something wrong happening.
Really?
Yeah. It seemed more ominous to me.
He was the first to go out there to kind of scope out the tone of the place,
right?
So, and make sure to tell whoever's behind him that it's safe. No one's really gonna hurt you.
Yeah, but something about I think the music. It made it sound ominous when he was talking, even after it was revealed it was Daryl.
It seemed ominous.
So I thought that they then do the reverse pull of being like, "Oh no, it turns out that everything's okay and that they succeeded."
What a sick joke. Yeah.
So that was the way I interpreted it. Was they were trying to throw you off of thinking that he succeeded.
Well, here's the thing. Considering it was such a really crazy way to end the episode, do you think we'll get an answer next week?
I honestly hope so.
They're going to show so much of Beth that maybe they won't even...
It better pick up where it left off. I really hope it does.
Because I could see them doing that, like, we're not going to answer it the next episode. God. We'll answer it the episode after.
Well, maybe it'll be answered at the end of next... Maybe you're right. Maybe it is the flashback of Beth's journey to... Back to Daryl and Carol.
Yeah, like I don't know. I hope it's just I don't. Sometimes these one-off episodes I think tend to drag the season out, which they probably are intended to do that to make it last longer. But I hope it's just a one-off. Like here is the best story where how she got to where she is. Here's some flashbacks about who she is, and then here's Daryl and Carol and everything that happens in that situation. And now after next week's episode, we'll be back to where we were.
Well, plus I know some people might not care for this kind of stuff in the storyline, but we saw last year a connection between Beth and Daryl, and there was some hinting that maybe there was something more there. So it's kind of weird to see Carol and Daryl going off after her. So I wonder if that would be an interesting triangle.
Maybe. And Carol's like, fine. You want the younger one.
Maybe Beth will come back next episode, find out that Maggie's not there, and then go by herself to Washington because, I don't know.
I would. Yeah. All right, so with that, let's wrap this up. So guys, once again, I'm Dave Klein. You can find me on Twitter at TheDaveKlein. That is K-L-E-I-N.
We always do
always
that.
Okay.
I'll go first because I think you usually go first. You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at Nandovel, N-A-N-D-O-V-E-L, and here for Homeland, Walking Dead. Oh, that's this one. Scorpion and Blacklist. I can't even remember.
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jay Ajuri. That's J-A-J-O-U-R-I. And on the Monday Night Gotham podcast and Tuesday night's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast.
And we'll see you guys next week. Later, guys. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.